Heavenly Father, I would pray for Al that you will bless him with just ability to troubleshoot what's going on with his heating system. And Lord, we're praying not only will he be able to discern what the problem is, but we're also praying that it's not going to cost him very much to get it fixed. Now, we just would ask you to just bless this way. And also now, as we turn to your word today, bless us in our study of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, all right. Traveling with our Lord, we're going to be in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We're almost done with our single passages. Next week, we'll have to take two passages and put them together. Thus far, a lot of our studies have been in the aspect of just finding it either in John or finding it in Luke. And we're going to look here at this illustration in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And if time permits, we're also going to look at 9 through 14. There'll be two parables that the Lord is going to share with those who have been following him or joining in with him on this journey that he's taken. And we're going to first talk about this parable concerning the unjust judge, all right? Let's take a look at verse A. We asked our question here. What did Jesus speak? And unto whom did he speak? And easy enough, it says this, and he spake a what? Parable. Unto them. And we mentioned just a parable, just a simple story used to illustrate some kind of moral or spiritual lesson. Now, we could go back and find out the them by looking in chapter 17, knowing that there were some disciples, knowing that there were some Pharisees, and of course the people were all along there with him and following him. And verse 1, the latter part, what was Jesus' purpose for this parable? And this is kind of important, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now that's the purpose for this parable. And there we go, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What men does Jesus have in mind? And I told you, you could really find out by jumping down with me to verse 7. Because down in verse 7, he talks about, and shall not God avenge his own elect? So first and foremost, the ones that the Lord, now there's an earshot, Pharisees, many people, all right? But the one who he is specifically sharing this parable with are his elect. Because what's the purpose of it? That men ought always to what? Pray and not to faint. Well, whose prayers are God going to hear? His elect, all right? So that kind of gives you an idea. Now, I ask you this question. Hey, do you ever faint when waiting for the Lord to judge another or waiting for the Lord to hear your prayer? And you say, well, how would I know if I fainted? Well, you would stop praying. And I would assume that all of us at one time or another, perhaps we've gone weary and fainted in our prayer to the Lord. But his admonition to us is simply this. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. What lesson had Jesus previously taught his disciples? Now we got to go back to verses 22 down through 37. And what was he talking about? His what? Can you see? You remember what it was? You got little footnotes there on your side? He was talking about his what? His second what? His second coming. All right, he's talking about his second coming. And so when we look at this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, certainly in part it has to deal with his second coming. The Lord's second coming. Don't faint concerning that. You go to Peter and you see that some had fainted. You know, whoa, everything's the same. Been 30 years. Doesn't look like he's coming. Huh? And why do we want him to come? Well, we want him to come for our blessing, and we want him to come at other times for him to bring righteous judgment upon our enemies. We've been reading through Revelation, Teresa and I, and what we see there is that very thing, is that here's some of the saints, and they're saying, hey, Lord, when are you going to avenge us? So they're still and almost there sensing that they're running out of endurance. So anyway, we see that he's teaching his disciples, his elect. So certainly he wanted them to pray about his second coming and not to grow faint about it. Now, what does Jesus say was in a city? Who does Jesus say was in a city? Verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge. Now, how does Jesus describe this judge? Look at verse 2. Which feared not God, neither regarded man. Now, I want you to think about those two phrases. I want you to put them together. Now, how would you put those two things together? Which feared not God, neither regarded man. That's right. No respect. And one of the things that we learn as we look at this aspect is that if you have someone who doesn't fear God, do you really think they're going to treat you right? They have no fear of God. All right. Your expectations, don't get them too high. Now, if they do show you kindness because of something they're expecting you to get back, then that's fine. But, you know, your expectation is, well, hold on, you know, I should not expect that out of the unsaved. Now, and I mentioned this, what are the two great commandments? And I give you Matthew 22, 37 through 40. You're to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And what's the other part? And you're to love your neighbor. Okay? So here's our two great commandments. And you go back, you look at the Ten Commandments. And, you know, the first four deal with our love for God. The next six deal with our love for man. Don't steal from him. Don't lie against him. Don't steal from him. Don't kill him. Don't commit adultery against them. You know, these are the two. So here we got a man. He doesn't love God, and he doesn't love man. All right, this is the judge that we're dealing with, all right? This is the example. Now, who else is just Jesus say was in the city? There was a judge in the city, but there was a widow in that city. Now, what do you and I know about widows? Generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, especially now thinking of this time, okay? Poor, all right? I made it very difficult because, you know, the land is, you know, and things are set up for the man. So what else do we know about widows? Poor, maybe that's a good place, poor, because everything else is going to go around it. They're going to have all kinds of needs, aren't they? All right. They're not going to. Who they got to defend them? Who are they going to have to turn to? You know. So she's turning to this one to defend her. She has no man to defend her. Now, what did the widow ask of the judge, according to verse 3? And she came unto him, saying, "Avenge me of my adversaries." Now, of course, Romans 12:19 says, vengeance is the Lord's, all right? But she's coming to this judge, and she's asking him to avenge her of her adversary. Now, we don't know what had happened. Now, maybe you and I can begin to, you know, think of different things. that might have happened to her. Maybe she's looking to, maybe somebody killed her husband, and she's looking for aspect there. Maybe someone had stolen from her. She's looking for justice there. Whatever had happened to her, she's looking for this judge to render justice for her. Now, how did the judge respond to her appeal? It says this on the top of your next page, and he would not for a while. Meaning what? He would not. He would not render her justice. What did the judge say to himself? Oh, in the latter part of verse 4. But afterward, no, he wouldn't do anything for a while. But afterward, we're not told how long, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. All right. Why then does this judge change his mind? He doesn't fear God. He doesn't regard man. Why does he change his mind? Yet because this widow troubles me. Now, how did she trouble him? You say, oh, I think I know who she's like. Proverbs speaks of maybe this type of woman, huh? We would think. Continually dripping. But she kept coming to him day after day. So what's the judge decided to do there, according to verse 5? I will avenge her. And why did he decide to do that? Lest by her continually coming, she weary me. Now, I like this phrase, weary. Literally means beat me black and blue. The ESV puts it, beat me down. He was worried that she was going to give him a black eye in ruining his reputation. Ruining his reputation as not being what? Not being fair, just, yeah. Because there she was, day after day, with her petition before the people. Because the people come to hear the judgments. And he's afraid, man, this girl's going to give me a black eye. You can see he's not doing it because he fears God. He's not doing it because he regards man. He's doing it for his own reputation. Man, I'm going to do it for myself. So would you say his motives are pure? No. Impure. So even now with this individual, the Lord has a lesson to learn, okay? What did the Lord say? And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. You know, Jesus insinuates, you know what? We can even learn from who? We can even learn from the unsaved. There's lessons that you and I can learn from the ungodly. What is Jesus' application now of this parable? He says this in verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect? If an unjust judge will judge correctly, how much more so the Lord? That's what he's saying. Listen, if this unjust judge can finally render a fair judgment with the wrong motive, but still render it, how much more can your holy and righteous and just God? Why will the Lord judge justly? Which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I ask you on the bottom, does persistence in prayer pay off? Yes. you know, you begin praying for something, you ought to keep praying until God just places upon your heart that knows the answer. You ought to keep praying, especially when you know you're praying in the will of God. You're praying something you know God desires. You know, keep praying it until, you know, there's a situation where it shows you that that door is completely closed. For example, couple breaks up, divorces, and they're both believers, and she's praying that he'll come back, he'll come back, he'll come back. I was dealing with someone on the phone yesterday, that he'll come back. Don't, you know, keep praying, keep praying. Now, what would close that door if this one would go and what? If this one who's divorced would then go and remarry. And you see she's praying. Up until that point, the door is wide open. Listen, God could bring them back. So, persistent prayer, it does pay off. Verse 8, how does Jesus say the Lord will judge our adversary? I tell you that he will avenge them quickly. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. Quickly? This whole thing is about, you know, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now you're saying it's going to happen quickly? What do you think he means? A couple of thoughts can come into mean, right? Let's take 100 years and put them side by side with what? Eternity? Woo! You can't even see it. 100 years, whoa, there's a dot. You might need even a dot there. That's all there is when you're talking about eternity. So that would be kind of quickly. Or there could be also this sense. Man, when it starts, it happens how? When judgment begins, it's going to happen fast. And that's what we see in the scriptures oftentimes. When God's judgment begins, it's going to, because like I told you, I've been reading through Revelation. Man, when it starts, it's going to come like a whirlwind. So it can be either one of those thoughts. What is the question he puts forth to them there in the latter part of verse 8? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, I mean, this is all about it, the whole aspect of his second coming. When he comes, is he going to find faith on the earth? Now, what do you think Jesus is insinuating? What do you think he's insinuating about his disciples? What do you think he's insinuating about us? How will he know that we still have faith? Because what will we be doing on the day that he comes? We'll be praying. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Prayer is probably one of the most positive influences or evidences, I should say, of our faith. Prayer. Man, we're praying. Well, all right, hey, quickly. Oh, boy. What do these verses teach us about our triune God? What about his desire? What's it teach us about his desire? What's his desire? We saw it in this. Huh? Yeah, say it again, Rick. Pray continually. Okay, that's his desire. What do we know about God? What's he promised us in this passage? He's going to do what? Because we learned something about our God. He's going to avenge us, right? He's going to avenge us. All right? What else do we learn about our Lord? Even though he's going to avenge us, he's also going to be concerned about what about us? Our faith. Yeah. See, so these are some of the things that we learn about our God. You know, his desires that we shouldn't faint. His desire is that we should be growing in our faith. And that and part of that faith is believing that he is going to avenge us. Now, does it teach us anything about mankind? Some men just what? What does it teach us about some men? The judge. Some men just don't what? They don't. All right, don't have faith. Some men just don't fear God, do they? Some men just do not have regard for man. That's some men. What do we learn about maybe some women? At least in this passage, it was a woman. Some women can be very what? Persistent. Yeah, they can be very persistent. Now, we hope it'd be the aspect about prayer, right? but, I mean, that's what we learned. And how might we just use these verses to change our behavior? What might we purpose to do, having read that parable? Just purpose to what? Pray. Without ceasing, pray persistently. Pray with faith, right? All right, let's go down to the next one. We've got time, I think, to cover this. Now, remember what we're in. You know, we're probably going to be something, we're still going to be dealing about prayer, all right? This is Jesus' parable concerning the unjust. All right, the Pharisee and the publican. Grabbed the wrong notes. Verse 9. All right, who does Jesus speak this parable unto? Well, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Now, remember, I told you about this audience. Now, whereas the former one was, it was just addressing the elect, but there were others listening, all right. Who's he really now addressing in this one? Unto certain, they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Now, who do you think this group of people was that he was addressing this parable to? Pharisees. What do you think that included? I told you. Who did that? We talked about that. What do you think was Jesus' purpose in telling this parable? Well, we can see the aspect they trusted in themselves, that they were righteous. So you might get a little idea that's going to be the purpose of this one. Okay, good. All right, so let's see it. Who does Jesus say went up to pray? Well, two men they went up into the temple to pray. And how does Jesus identify these two men? He says, well, the one is a Pharisee and the other is a publican. And what do we know about each of these men? Well, we know Pharisees, they were the religious rulers. We know publican, he's another word for tax gatherer. So very despised. The one was, oh, wow, oh, here comes the Pharisees with their bells jingling and so forth. And the people would pay homage and look up to them with high respect. And that stinking, rotten tax gatherer, well, I just told you how they felt about it, right? Okay, so let's talk about the Pharisee. Verse 11. What was the Pharisee doing? Well, it says here, the Pharisee, he stood and he prayed this with himself. Now, what did he pray? God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. All right, so who is this Pharisee comparing himself with? Others, men, okay. And who should he should be comparing himself with? All right, okay. So he's comparing himself with these. And what is the Pharisee telling God that he wasn't? In so many words. He wasn't a sinner. Oh, my. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. Now, they weren't. Now, why weren't they adulterers? Why weren't they these other areas? Because of how they hobnobbed the law. You know, they were adulterers, but oh, they say, well, you know, we can divorce our wife for. She looked cross-eyed at me this morning. She burnt my toast. Two mornings in a row. Listen, I could have forgiven her for one, but two in the morning, that's it. So anyway, you know, but in their mind, this is what he was saying there in his prayer. What else did the Pharisee pray? Verse 12. He says, why I fast in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. All right, so what was the Pharisee saying about his fasting, praying, and giving? It was what? Why? It's because now he's doing it fasting twice a week. I mean, they had a couple of times a year where they would fast. He's saying, I fast twice a week. Man, I give tithes of everything I possess. Mint, everything. I give tithes away. Basically, he's saying, first he's saying, you know what? I'm not like these. But then he's saying, why, I am greater than others. I do more than what God expects of me. Now, and why do you suppose the Pharisees fasted, prayed, and gave tithes? Any idea why? What his motive might have been? Well, we know in other passages that they might be seen of men. Right. And applauded. Well, all right, let's take a look at the publican. All right, what's the publican doing? Well, and the publican, he was standing afar off. He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast. Then I asked the question out there, why? Why wouldn't he do these things? And I give you the word underneath it. At least that's the word that came to my mind. He felt himself to be unworthy. We sing a song called Unworthy. Unworthy. Or something, but I know it's a good song. Unworthy. What did the publican say? Saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, is there any difference between him and the Pharisee? The Pharisee was saying, why, I'm not a sinner like these people. In fact, I'm more righteous than others because, why, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of everything. What do you perceive as the attitude of the publican here? One word. Okay, humble. And what did Jesus say about these two men? I tell you, this man, meaning the publican, he went down to his house justified rather than the other. And why did Jesus say that? For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And we can see this also out of Luke chapter 13, verse 30. All right, I ask you this question. What was each man relying on to be saved? The Pharisee, he was relying on his self. The publican was relying on God. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, what do these verses teach us about our triune God? Certainly that we know that the Lord taught by using what? Parables, okay? And before we see that he wants us to pray. And he wants us to pray always, doesn't he? Here we learn that, yes, we ought to pray, but we ought to pray. What was he teaching us? Rick could all remember. How are we to pray? Pray with humility. That's what he's trying to teach us. The Lord wants us to pray, but he wants us to pray with humility. Now, what do we learn about mankind? couple of things, right? Again, we got the Pharisees. So we learn that some men can be very proud, arrogant, boastful, very boastful. Then on the other hand, we learned, yes, you know, but there are some who will humble themselves. Humble themselves. All right, so how might these verses change our behavior? Hey, when I purpose to pray, and when I purpose to pray with a spirit of humility. So as we go through the scriptures, it's good to note what it's saying. It's good to note what it might be saying to us, but it's very important for us to be able to take it and apply it to our lives. And this particular portion was particularly easy for us to do that. Others, sometimes we have to dig a little bit deeper and meditate on a little bit longer to get that message or application for our own life. But hey, listen, we need to pray. We need to pray without ceasing. But we need to pray with a spirit of humility. Our Heavenly Father, we would ask that even this week, as we practice prayer, that we would learn and do what the Lord desires of us. Now, we're not going to faint when it comes to praying, Lord. But in the midst of all our prayers, we will seek to do it with a humble and meek spirit, acknowledging ourselves to be sinners, crying out to you for mercy. We just want to thank you now for this time of study today. Of course, in Jesus we pray, amen.